Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Rachel Myers.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Bible Williams. And this is the third and final week of our Give Thanks series. And we are so happy to welcome Amy Jo Girardier to the podcast for the first time. Amy Jo is local here in Nashville. She has been in women's ministry for over 20 years, serving girls and women and teaching them how to read God's Word. She has some Bible studies for teen girls, one that just released on November 1st, actually, on the book of James for your teen girls. You have to check that out. But we had a great conversation with Amy Jo. It's just always fun to have someone here in the podcast studio with us, opening up our reading guides and digging into God's Word together. And so we're going to talk more about what it means to give thanks in all circumstances as we lead up to next week, which is what, Rachel?
Advent
is 2023. Coming for us. But before we get to Advent, let's get right to this episode with Amy Jo. Here we are, week 3 of 3. Of our Give Thanks series. And Amy Jo, we're so glad that you're with us.
I'm so glad to be here.
Made
so
the fun. Long trip across the street.
A whole 11 minutes.
Yeah. That's
it is awesome. My favorite, though, to get to have guests in person. And yay. So, like, sitting around a table with, yes. like, the Word of God in front of us feels like a really good natural, start to any right? conversation.
Yes.
Like, I'm happy. It's and good. I see, like, she's got some notes. She's got her well-worn Bible yes. right next to her. we're going to have a good conversation.
Uh-huh. I'm excited to get to it. Amy Jo, we have been, as you know, because you have this Give Thanks book as well that you've yeah. been looking through, we've just been talking about what Thanksgiving is, what mm-hmm. gratitude is according to Scripture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we sort of had a week of introduction of that. And then last week and then this week, talking about different seasons, different circumstances, but by way of just getting started and then getting to know you a little bit too, because we are new friends.
Yeah.
So, Amy Jo, when you hear or read these verses from Paul, mm-hmm. from 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, mm-hmm. for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What are your, like, first responses? Even, and it probably changes day to day, but, like, today, or generally speaking,
yeah.
give thanks in everything.
I love it. I love that Paul did that for the Thessalonians. I love the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. It's one of my favorites. But
really?
Yes.
That's a fun answer to what's your favorite book of the Bible.
Well, yes. Well, I wrote a girls' Bible study for that, and so ended up just in it. And
yeah, we just like you more and more.
Oh. Yeah. So when I was hearing or reading about Paul and how much he loves the Thessalonians,
yeah.
and it was like a short-term mission trip, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you fell in love with them and, like, just wanted to help them, you know, succeed. And so when he's talking about giving thanks, it, you know, is developing that habit of giving thanks. But mm-hmm. I love it, but it's super hard for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, so
no,
I'm just,
yeah.
I love Thanksgiving. I know that we just celebrated that, but I love Thanksgiving and the holiday. But when I think about, you know, give thanks in all circumstances, it sounds easier than yeah. it is for me.
We talked about that. Yeah. I guess it was last week, Rachel, or maybe mm-hmm. the week before. It was like, yeah, I won't. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Right.
Like, that sounds great. And then you're like, oh, but today that feels hard because X, Y, Z.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I think when I was studying this, I was understanding more and more about, just even personally, that it is a battle for Thanksgiving. You know, like, I feel like there's either just I am discontent or, and so I have to fight to be somebody that gives thanks.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible, but.
No, I think it sounds honest.
Well, I think that it's practice. Like, yeah. I think that it's something that, like, yeah. that requires practice
habit.
And probably something we'll never perfect
right.
While we're, like, in our earthly bodies.
Yeah, and in a world that prizes self-sufficiency, mm-hmm. you know, it's not something that comes very natural to us. I believe that it can become more and more natural as we practice.
Right.
But I don't know that it's even when things are going well. And I mean, sometimes especially when things are going well, right?
Yeah.
Like the Thanksgiving, it is not the default mode for me that I wish it were.
And that's a great way of saying it. Yeah.
I don't think that I'm an ungrateful person, you know, like I don't feel that way. But I think it's accurate when you say we have to fight for it, because I don't think that the natural current of our hearts and society and, you know, the world that we're in, like I don't think that that is the given posture.
Right. You know, I do think that Paul was encouraging the Thessalonians to do that because he knew that it's also contagious when you are giving things.
That's
true. When you start doing like already at the beginning of 1 Thessalonians, he's encouraging them saying, hey, we didn't even have to say anything. The way that you all were living was making a difference. It rang out across all Achaia, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the way that they were living their lives pointed to the reality of Christ at work within them. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we do practice and we are understanding and giving thanks for the work of Christ, that it is contagious, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love it. So I want to be a thanksgiver, you know?
It reminds me, I think it was maybe week one, there was that little Colossians 4 passage. It was just like the one verse, and it said, devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in Thanksgiving.
Mm. Yes. And we were like, huh.
Tell me more. But I love that stay alert in Thanksgiving, or stay alert in prayer with Thanksgiving.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. You know, we've mentioned Ann Voskamp's, you know, gratitude practice, like 10,000?
10,000 gifts.
Lots of gifts.
Oh, no. Is it 10,000 or 1,000? For me, it's 10.
I think it's one.
Anyway. Ann, help.
Ann is not the only person. But I have another friend, a different friend in my life.
You know what? I'm confusing 10,000 reasons with 1,000 gifts. And we're good. We've got Matt and we've got Ann. All right.
Yeah.
Great. 1,000
awesome.
Gifts. Sorry about that.
I have a friend in my life, a different friend, who I think that the way you described, I'm still thinking of the gratitude as like a battle. I think that's accurate because I watch her. She has a practice of keeping a gratitude journal.
Yeah.
And she'll usually add, she's very creative. And so she'll usually add like some drawings or a ticket stub from the day, or like she'll print out like a tiny photo from the day or something.
That's so lovely.
It really is. And for one, she does not have an easy life because I know her pretty well. And it is a, I think it is a battle, but I also think it has become like a life-giving thing for her, a thing that she needs to do. But it is also contagious. I think like we can practice and become more adept at Thanksgiving. And that's not the only way to do it, obviously, but I'll say that in case I happen to be implying it, not meaning to. But it also is contagious because anytime, like if she happens to like Instagram her gratitude journal, everyone's immediately like, what journal is that? How do you print those pictures? How do you, like, I want to do that. Mm. And I have tried to do her version of a, and I've tried it maybe 2 years and neither year stayed with it. But the point is, I think that you're right. And I hadn't thought about that before, that it is contagious and that we can spur one another on in that. Yeah. Makes me thankful for community.
It also makes me think of, we've used the word practice a couple of times, but I think even like rehearsal is a nice word to use. We've talked on the podcast before about rehearsing the gospel to one another, like practicing the lines, like saying what is true until it's just, like almost wrote to us. Like we can just, we know it, that we know it, that we know it. And it makes me think of the last day of last week's reading. We read kind of three instances in a row of Jesus giving thanks and then breaking bread. And we had a completely different conversation thread about that last week. But I also like had little notes in the margin about that. I think that's probably where our custom of, you know, praying before a meal comes from, giving thanks and then breaking bread. And I mean, we have, as believers, all sorts of hilarious jokes about, like, well, you know, the food, if you forgot to pray, you're going to get indigestion, like, whatever it is, like, or, like, at our table sometimes, like, if somebody takes a bite before we eat, well, you're the prayer then, or whatever it is. But here's what I like about it. It's not a rule. It's not like Scripture is saying pray before any meal.
Right.
Is it modeled for us? Maybe. I think it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. Here's what I do know. We are a forgetful people, and we need marks. We need moments to be reminded that what we have comes from the Lord.
Right.
And mealtime is a really excellent time to do that.
Yeah, and it's all throughout the day.
Before receiving three times a day, sometimes four.
Snacks.
To go, Lord, this is from you. Mm. Like to just acknowledge that all that we have comes from Him. There's something really beautiful about that. And I think especially when we're together for a meal. Mm-hmm. I was having a meal with a handful of couples this summer, and one of the husbands prayed for our meal, and just there was just something about the words that he said. He said, "Lord, thank you for the gifts that you've given us that we know of and the gifts that we don't know about." Mm. And I just thought, like, what a good way to give thanks, because boy, are there things that we have been given, the ways that we've been protected. We have so much to give thanks for that we don't even know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Definitely. I love that. My boys are the ones that say the prayer of thanks at dinner.
And oh, I love that. Yeah.
So our youngest, Skylar, he also attaches food points to, like, if the meal is good, like, they, you know, he'll just
yes,
be like,
yes.
2,000 points for this one, you know? And so anyway, I don't think that you should add those into your prayer time, but he does, you know, he's like, in 2,000 points for the mac and cheese, you know?
Yes.
So, oh, in the prayer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is just such a little boy thing. I love that.
Slip that in there, you know, or dear Jesus, thank you that mom made the meal tonight, you know, or, and so it's great, but sometimes it's, you know, a little shade in there, but
anyway. And 2 points for the green beans.
Yes. Yes.
Well, all right.
Negative points for whatever. Yeah. But it's good. I love that.
Well, speaking of children and green vegetables, Scripture does call us to give thanks in all circumstances. And I think that's actually not a bad segue to we start this week with give thanks for God's discipline.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, you know, I'll be honest, turned the page and was like, okay.
Right?
Okie dokie.
When I opened it, I was really excited. And then I thought, discipline. Yeah. It just does not sound exciting.
Start the Monday off right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you've read these passages, Amy Jo, and you help lead women of all ages through Scripture. So why do we give thanks for God's discipline?
Yeah. Well, I will say, I'm going to answer that a little bit backwards. The Proverbs 4 passage, it was a helpful reminder to me that this is King Solomon talking, you know, and he's quoting his dad, which was King David, right? And so I circled the part where it says, he taught me. So, and he goes on to quote King David's words, your heart must hold on to my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. In verse 5, where it says get, I saw that it could be translated purchase wisdom. Get it at all cost. So I'm thinking about my kids and what we're teaching them and what they understand about discipline, right? But understanding the need for God's discipline in our life, that God's word, I wrote guardrails that we need.
That's good. I think that's
guardrails.
Helpful.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they're there for a reason, so that we don't wreck, so we don't get off of the road of righteousness, right, the way that we're supposed to be going.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful for guardrails.
Yeah.
I would be a mess without knowing the right way to live and the right relationships to have with God and with others. And it's so relieving when we realize that God teaches us how to love Him and how to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't obey that, then it's not fun to be fighting with each other. I'm thinking of my boys right now. You know, like, it's so much better in our house when they understand how to go to somebody and ask for forgiveness and love each other well, right?
Yeah.
So
I like that we're using, like, real-life examples right now. Amanda, there's a story that I have told you in our actual lives, not into a microphone, but something that this really makes me think of. My oldest is 17, and he, you might know what story I'm going to tell. He had been out at soccer practice one night, and his Instagram is on my phone. And so I, like, had opened it up, and I was just kind of looking at DMs, and happened upon a conversation where he just was not at his best.
Yeah.
Just with a friend. And he got home and I talked with him about it and we had a really great conversation. Like, I was like, this is not who you are. This is not who you want to be.
Yeah.
And he, two things happened in that conversation. One feels really relevant to this. But first of all, he said, Mom, that was this summer. And I said, that's fine, but I found it tonight. And we're going to talk about it tonight. And he said, and we can. However, I'm not who I was this summer.
Wow.
I hope that you could also agree, like, just by the way that I've been living, that that's not who I am anymore. Mm. And so that was like a sweet, you know, moment. But in addition, kind of at the end of the conversation, and I tend to draw conversations on longer than a kid would want it to
me
go.
Me too.
But at the end of the conversation, like, we're just reconciling and having this talk. And I said, you and I both know that you have no expectation of privacy, be it from me or anybody else's friends' parents who are going to read their texts or whatever, you know. And I said, and at the same time, I'm sorry that you had to come home to discipline. Like, that's a bummer to come home and to be in trouble. And I'm sorry that like I came across this. Like I don't regret it, but I'm sorry that like we're having to have this conversation right now. And he said, no, Mom, that's the Holy Spirit. Wow. Like the Holy Spirit wanted you to find that because he's pursuing me.
Oh, I love that.
That's giving thanks for discipline. Like then we read Psalm 94 that says, Lord, how happy is anyone you discipline and teach from your law? The Lord will not leave his people or abandon his heritage, for the administration of justice will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it.
Yeah.
And so even like for like my 17-year-old to go, if the Lord is calling me into the light, and these conversations that I had in the dark is going, no, come to the light, because I want you, and like I've chosen you and I'm pursuing you. It helps me also give thanks for discipline, right?
It's good. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did right at the end of it, I'm thankful for the people God has placed in my life who love me enough to say the hard things.
That's right. Yeah.
So I wrote, you know, not silly, but people in the past like that have pointed me back to the guardrails, right? And just helped me know that I'm not acting the way, I'm not being the best person that I can be, you know, not reflecting Christ in this moment. And it's so much easier to not say those things. And I'm so thankful that God put those people in my life. So,
And that the guardrails, that path, it's going somewhere. And it is God's kindness to keep us on that path. I mean, that the whole Ezekiel passage, which those of you who read Ezekiel with us, has it been almost 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel 2 years ago to
me. Lent 2022.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but it all came rushing back.
We started, Amanda and I were on a walk today, and I was reading, and I was like, oh, I remember this one. Like, I was just reading it out loud, and I was like, I remember this story.
But you get kind of to the end of this, where essentially what's being said is that, like, you're responsible for your actions, and they're going to have consequences, and those consequences can be really dire. But there is a part at the very end that is, you know, where it kind of all ties together, like, so when I tell a wicked person, you will surely die, but he repents of his sin and does what is just and right. He returns collateral. He makes restitution for what he has stolen. So like when I discipline them and they do the right thing and walks in the statutes of life without committing injustice, he will certainly live. Yeah. He will not die. Like there is an opportunity here to respond positively to the correction of the Lord. And that correction is for our life and for our flourishing.
Yes.
And so it's not just like, you know, pawns on a chessboard. It's not like do what I say because I say it.
Right,
it is like, no, I have these guardrails are here for my glory and for your good,
That's good, says the Lord.
Yeah. In the Amanda Bible version.
Yeah.
You know, like this
Amanda
is,
Bible?
Yes, the Amanda Bible.
But that path of discipline, those guardrails, like if we believe that God is who he says he is, then godly discipline, that path leads to life.
Right.
It doesn't lead us to a pit.
No.
His guardrails don't direct us down underwater. They like they lift us up to the mountain heights is what scripture says. And so I think that like if we can go like, all right, this path of your discipline leads to life.
That's good.
Yeah. And that's what we want as parents. Yeah. That's what we want for our kids. Yeah. Well, I don't discipline my children for fun. It is not fun.
It's not.
At all.
No, that's why I was like, I don't want to discipline you. He was like, but I need you to.
I thought that you were going to get to the part of the story where he said, Mom, we can keep talking about this, but I do have homework to get done.
He's like, I want you to feel as though you have as much closure as you need. And I would love to talk as long as you need. I do have homework that I need to get to, but I do want to be respectful in this
that's
moment.
Amazing.
I was like, oh my word. Yes,
it was really just a home run all the way around there for all of
you.
Really
great conversation.
He appreciates that I tell those stories.
We love him. We love him.
Haley. I'm sorry if I, he doesn't listen to my podcast, let's be honest.
Well, there are some, so the rest of the path,
yes,
for the guardrails for this week's
that's
reading.
That's right.
Yeah.
We are giving thanks for God's discipline. We're giving thanks for God's mercy. Mm-hmm. Give thanks in anxiety. Mm-hmm. I hope we have a chance to touch on that one. Give thanks in waiting. And then on Friday, in everything, give thanks. So sort of a like pulling it all together.
If we
there.
Missed anything, you're supposed to give thanks in everything.
That's right. Yeah. Just in case.
And to sum up.
Yes, right. Yeah. But in the Give Thanks for God's Mercy reading, I saw a moment of discipline and correction.
Yeah.
Did y'all notice that? Where there's a story in Luke 7 where Jesus says to Simon, Simon, I have something to say to you. And that's probably how your son felt when he walked in the door that day.
I have something to say to you.
We have something to talk about.
Yeah.
But the larger point of that story in this reading day is God's mercy.
Mm-hmm. 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 Much forgiveness, much love. Mm-hmm. And that parable is, you know, if there are two debtors and one has a great debt and one has a small debt and both debts have been forgiven, who's more grateful? And Simon the Pharisee says, well, I suppose the one who was forgiven more.
Right.
He's like, yeah, ding, ding, so ding. This woman that's washing my feet with her hair, let her do it.
Yeah,
she's so grateful.
Her many sins have been forgiven. Yeah. That's why she loved much. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. It made me think, I don't know, just about my own testimony of when I came to faith in Christ. Like, you know, I just begin to think back. And so when I was reading this, that was, I retold the Lord. I was 5 when I accepted Christ. I brought my little, this is my Bible. I know that nobody else can see it, but it's the Bible and pictures for little eyes.
For little eyes.
And I can tell you the page that it was. It was my mom and my dad and my brother would gather in my bedroom, and so, like, from when I was little. And we read all the stories about Jesus. And they have these beautiful pictures, right, of Jesus.
I had never seen this book.
This is so sweet.
And so it was this picture. I had never seen Jesus on the cross. Never had considered that when I was 5, right? And then when I saw that, that was, for me, the moment my mom shared with me about who Jesus was and what he did for me. I had known him as Jesus's friend and healer, but never as
Savior.
And so as a 5-year-old, that was, for me, I became aware of my need for a Savior. And so anyway, I keep that in my
Thank
office
you so
with
much
me.
For sharing that. Yeah.
What was it about this reading that brought that up in you, that connected those dots?
Yeah.
I love that.
I can't not see that. I was thinking of the woman being there and being, you know, just, do you think she could hear what they were saying? Or
It seems like it.
I felt like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything heretical, but in my reading of it, I felt like she must be hearing this, you know? And
you're talking about the part where they're talking about her.
Yes.
Like, why is she here? She's a sinner.
Yes, right. Yeah. And I just got convicted of my moment when I met Jesus, right? And when he saw me, and even just as a 5-year-old girl, you know? So,
just precious.
Really,
I love that.
Automatically was just thinking about how much I love him, you know? And like, so anyway.
That he's your Savior.
Yes.
And that moment. And so that is God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was an expression of his mercy, and you are responding to his mercy. And so, I mean, I can definitely see how those dots connect, you know, that would remind you. I love that you have that book.
I just wrote off to the side, thank you for saving me when I was 5. So that, that he had mercy on me. So
that's so special.
Yeah.
I love the Ephesians passage. I love the language of generosity that is used in reference to God's mercy.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I had kind of read it and highlighted that in my mind before. But some of this language, like, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us. I don't want to yada yada any of this because it's so good.
Right.
He keeps going that, like, the immeasurable riches of his grace, his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, saved by grace. It is God's gift.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it is such a, there's
a generosity.
So, yes, there's so much generosity to the point where generosity doesn't feel like a big enough word, right?
Yeah. I circled the verse 4 where it says, but God. I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
And I know we don't have the first part of that passage, but it's talking about right before that, you know, who we are, that we're sinners. You know, we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. It interrupts with, but God.
That's right.
And I'm so thankful that.
I'm glad you read that, because it's not that before the but God, we were just neutral beings.
Right.
We were living out our fleshly desire.
Yes.
Like, we were just like, we were lost.
Right.
In darkness.
Right.
But God.
I wrote, too, that off to the side, just the contrast of grace and mercy in this passage. And I wrote out, just so I would be reminded, because I think I get into the habit of tossing grace
around and not, you know, like we say grace.
The word, yeah.
We say mercy, but do we really even know what it is? So I needed to be reminded of it. So I wrote out, grace is giving believers what they do not deserve, and mercy is God does not give what is deserved.
Yeah, that's so, a good distinction.
As I'm reading that through, just remembering the contrast of grace and mercy and impacts my thankfulness even more.
Talk about giving thanks for the things that we know God is doing, but we can't see the things that we're unaware of, like your friend prayed. I think there, I just wonder if we could even handle it if we were to know the extent to which God's mercy affects every moment of our lives. And it's pretty, I don't know, I can get lost in that train of thought really quickly.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot of garden talk around here in a little while.
Oh, it's time. But, take us there.
But we have just planted, many of us, our fall gardens.
Well, many of you.
I have
many
not.
Of you.
I have not.
That's why we're friends with Rachel.
I love it.
There's a fall garden at play. So much of the fall garden happens under the soil, where we're planting our garlic and onions and shallots and just like those roots. I've got turmeric and those, like all of the like work is happening in unseen places.
That's so good.
And so I think that like, I mean, I started gardening last February. And so over the spring, especially, I feel like every episode I was like also gardening. But having just like planted the fall garden and gotten that going, I've spent so much more time with my hands in the soil again. And the things that the Lord is showing me there continue to just be surprising and delightful and just so anchoring, like to just go, oh, all of this is, I'm going to just have to trust that this is all going to happen. And so when it comes time to harvest this garlic or these onions, you're just going to take care of it. Like, I'm not going to get to watch it happen, anything like that. Okay.
That's good.
You've got it under control.
That's so good.
Yeah.
The spiritual metaphors abound there.
Abound in the garden, in the earth.
Which makes me nervous. The unseen stuff makes me nervous, Rachel, which makes me turn the page thanks and anxiety.
Which also, I mean, talk about transition. Let's talk about gardening because here in Habakkuk, my guy has gardening issues.
He is like me.
Yeah.
I have gardening issues as well.
I'm reading this passage for us because I want our listeners who don't have their books in front of them right now and are going to read later this week to have this verse, you know, fresh in their minds as we discuss it. The book of Habakkuk is beautiful and important. And so just read the whole thing. But this is a really moving three verses where Habakkuk says, he's talking about hardship and what is true in front of his face and also what is even more true.
Yeah.
And so he says, in starting in verse 17 in chapter 3, though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stall, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord my God is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer, and he enables me to walk on mountain heights.
The yet I circled because that felt like the battle for me.
Yeah.
That like felt when it was all of these things, the does nots, the no.
Yeah.
And then it was a strong yet.
Yes. You know,
I loved it. And I was trying to remember what was going on with Habakkuk. So I went and did some research on that to be reminded of it. But so it was Josiah had just come onto the throne, right? Or the word of the Lord he had just discovered and that had gotten published, right? Essentially, you know.
Not verbally like published.
Verbally published, yes. And so Habakkuk had started awakening to the sin around him. And I was just thinking of, you know, in the middle of all that, that was when he was awakened to the sin around him, but he was also awakened to who God was. And so because of that, it didn't change what was going on around him. There were certain people that had known the law, but it wasn't producing holiness in them. But for him, he was clinging to God in the moment. And I loved that. I loved that, that he saw what was not changing in the lives of people around him, but he clung to the one who could change things, right?
That's
the
right.
God of salvation.
I mean, it makes me think of who we talked about last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this does have a connection. Trust me, stick with me.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Because they said, like, I know that the Lord our God is capable of saving us. But even if he does not, he is still good. So, like, I talk about my potatoes and my onions in the garden. I know that he's the one who's going to, if that's happening, it's going to be God.
Yeah.
If my harvest fails, like Habakkuk's, like if there's really nothing when it comes time to pull that up, that doesn't mean that God isn't faithful. Yeah. I know he's capable of doing these things. If he doesn't, that's probably on me, frankly. But if he doesn't, he's still good. And so, like, how do we take that from an Old Testament story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How do we take it from Habakkuk? How do we take it from my
garden,
my potatoes, yeah. and go, okay,
yeah,
what is the thing that I'm waiting on the Lord for? And we'll get into give thanks and waiting. This actually yeah. ties later into this week. I'm trusting that he will do, or hoping or praying, asking him to do. And if it doesn't go the way I expect, or if it takes longer than I expect,
honestly,
is he still good?
He's still God, too.
Right,
yeah. But even if you don't know what to hope for, I mean, if, you know, if your garden doesn't produce fruit, you will go to the store.
I will go to Publix.
Yeah. And everything will be fine.
Yeah.
This situation that Habakkuk is describing is a very stressful situation.
It feels like you're making his situation more important than mine.
No. The garden metaphor does take us far, but not all the way.
Not all the way.
So there are times, I think, in our lives, and this feels kind of connected to the suffering and sorrow, you know, season that we discussed last week, but it reminds me of confirmation bias. Like, if whatever you're looking for, you're going to find it. Mm-hmm. If I'm looking for things to worry about, I can make you a very long list. Mm-hmm. That is not to dismiss those things. I mean, there are very real things to worry about and to be anxious about. And also, we can celebrate in the Lord. We can rejoice in the God of our salvation because, you know, these things that Habakkuk is listing are not unimportant things. The fig tree, the fruit, the olive crop, the flocks.
I mean,
the flocks disappear.
Yeah.
It's like, what, can you imagine the panic?
No herds in the stalls.
Of the herds missing from the stalls. But even so, that is not where Habakkuk's strength lies. That is not where the strength of God's people lies. Mm-hmm. Their strength lies in the Lord. The Lord, my Lord, is my strength. Mm-hmm. He's the one that makes my feet. Like, I was about to say, what's going to happen will happen. That makes it sound like God has no say. That's not true. But like, hard things happen and stressful seasons come, and they don't always go away quickly. Sometimes they don't go away at all. And sometimes we don't know what to ask for or pray for.
Yeah.
It's just an overwhelming sense of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I mean, now possibly more than ever. Yeah. And it's in our kids. It's in the young people in our lives. It's in us. And so I'm grateful for the reminder to give thanks even in the midst of the most stressful of stressful situations.
Yeah. And it ties us directly to Matthew chapter 6. Like the very next reading, Amanda, you were reading this out loud to me on our walk today. And
I did some ad-libbing.
I appreciated it. Y'all will read this later this week. But those last couple of verses starting in 33, I love them, and I think we talked last week about the Old Testament and New Testament are best friends. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is best friends with the Habakkuk passage. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day," and this is what caught us today, Amanda, "each day has enough trouble of its own." I like that scripture wasn't like, because it's not that hard. It wasn't saying, because there's like the trouble that you're experiencing is perceived or made up or whatever it is. No, each day has trouble. In fact, it has enough trouble of its own that you don't even need to
borrow from
from tomorrow's trouble. So it's a real, like, here's the reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've got like a cup of suffering today for whatever reason. Some days my cup is more full than others and that changes in seasons. Focus here and give that cup to me today. Yeah.
When I was the girls minister, a lot of times, you know, girls are coming in with anxiety.
Yeah.
And it was overwhelming for both of us as they're sharing all of it. And so one of the things I felt like the Lord taught me to do and to pass on to them is I would have them put their hands together like this. And I would put my hand in it and kind of press down a little bit and say, "You are not meant to hold all of this." Mm. He's got the whole world in his hands. This is his to carry, you know? And so helping them to understand. And like, the lie is, I have to carry this by myself.
Right.
And so how do you like see the lie in all of this? Like, Habakkuk is being attacked by all of these things. You know, this is not working. These things are gone. But the truth is,
he's got it. God has it. Mm-hmm. And that I feel like that's the battle again, is that he recognizes, how do I put this in his hands? Mm-hmm. How do I relinquish this to him, surrender it to him, and let God carry this for me?
Yeah.
You know? So, and in the Matthew passage, this was new for me, seeing that it was like a rabbinical question of, it was showing, if God does a greater thing for us, he will also do the lesser things. That was helpful for me to, so when you look through.
Show me where that is. I want to see it.
So when the question is, consider the birds of the sky.
Yeah.
They don't sow or reap or gather into barns. Like, he's showing you the lesser thing.
Right.
Or to show that, so if he's done more than this, like he's going to take care of the little things.
So if he's providing for what feels less significant, like a raven or a lily in the field.
Right.
And he's going, like, I've got this completely covered.
Yes.
How much more will he care for you?
Exactly.
His child.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Like, if he has time to worry about the lily, then I should be good to
go. We should be good.
Yeah.
Just even just seeing that was kind of the way that, like, a rabbinical teaching that they would say, to show kind of the scale of how God loves us. Mm. So if he's doing this little stuff, like, he for sure has the greater things taken care of.
That is interesting to think about. It's like the little things are signs of a very big God.
Yes.
You know? The little details.
It's funny because it immediately makes me think of the thing that we like to talk about when we're talking about, like, prioritizing, like the big jar and the big rocks and the medium-sized rocks and the little rocks and then the sand and then the water. Yeah. And like that, like, I like to think that as humans, we are like the big rocks, like that he's, or whatever. Like, and the funny thing is then metaphor immediately falls apart because God is not contained by a jar.
That's true.
And his ability to hold all things together is so much more vast. There's no limit.
Yes.
And so he can care for all things. Yeah. He holds all things together. He set them all in motion. He created all things. And so then, like, back to Matthew 6.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't he care for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a similar, like, posture and perspective in the give thanks and waiting passages, because you read from Isaiah 40 that the Lord is the everlasting God. He never becomes faint or weary. Mm-hmm. There is no limit to his understanding. Mm-hmm. That he never tires, and therefore we, if our strength is found in him, then we renew our strength.
And I hadn't noticed that that passage that is familiar to a lot of us starts with that question, essentially, why do you say my claim is ignored by God? Like, it's an answer to the question.
To
it says,
complaint.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. He never becomes faint or weary.
Yeah.
Like, let's remember who you
Go
already
back
know
to who God,
God
is.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, giving thanks and waiting is...
It's a great day to read. It was probably my favorite day this week.
Yeah.
Romans 8, hallelujah. And that from groans to glory section about the present time and is not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed to us. And then just like the repeated language of creation, eagerly waiting and groaning and hoping for something that is so worth it.
Yeah.
Right?
Which it goes back to, like, the birth pains. You know, I felt like at first I was like, why are we groaning? And then I realized it was, you know, child labor pains that is being mentioned there. Mm-hmm. And you don't know, like, if, you know, you're waiting for that child or people are waiting in anticipation. I loved that imagery of linking it together with waiting for that good gift of our new resurrection bodies, of being with Christ, the reality of living without pain in this world.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. That's what I wrote in the margin there. Yes.
Yeah.
This day is also a sweet setup to Advent.
Yeah.
Reading about Anna and Simeon and knowing that, you know, Advent is now just days away.
Yeah.
And what it means, you know, we're going to, for the entire season of Advent, practice, you know, in a sense, that posture of thanksgiving in waiting, like in remembering, waiting for Jesus, for the Messiah. And right now we are waiting for Jesus still, right, to come back. And so, I'm thankful that we get to read that this week as we prepare in just a handful of days to step into Advent. And then Friday's reading, I resist the urge to say it ties it all together, because that sounds too... That sounds tidier than what is real.
Let's say that it launches us forward out of 3 weeks in the Word about giving thanks. And it says, now go forward and give thanks in everything. We've listed 7 things. go forward and give thanks in everything.
Yeah. That Colossians 3 passage really is kind of a benediction.
I think it is our benediction.
Sending off. Yeah. Would you be willing to read that for us, Amy Jo?
Yeah.
That Colossians 3, 12 through 16 as we close.
Yeah. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Mm. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts.
Amen. Mm-hmm. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. That was beautiful. All right, friends listening, let's all give Amy Jo a round of applause and a thank you for joining us.
Yay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. This was lovely. I can't believe that not next Monday, next Sunday is Advent.
That's
December
really
3rd
fun.
Is the first day of Advent. Advent starts on a Sunday. Every other reading plan of our year begins on a Monday, so it feels like special, important reminder.
Special, yes.
Sunday is your first day of Advent reading. I'm so excited. I know you're excited. I'm trying to think, Amanda, do we have anything that we need to remind our friends listening before we go?
Well, there's the matter of Christmas shopping. And so I feel it is my duty to let you know.
Please.
That.
Do you have a deal for us?
Well, you know that I do.
Well, this releases on Cyber Monday.
It does. And so this really is a one day only because at this point it is just
it is truly today. Okay.
But I specifically want to let you know that there is a free gift with any purchase.
Let's
which
go.
Makes me want to
I
buy
wish I
something.
Knew what the free gift was. It's going to be a surprise and it'll probably be on the site.
A free gift makes me want to buy something from my own store.
Yeah.
It's just the power of the free
consider
gift.
Consider it, yeah.
Plus, 40% off and free shipping over $50. I feel like the team was
site-wide.
Like,
site-wide.
How many things can we give them?
Let's get, like, it's like the like spring cleaning, but at the end of the,
at the, end of the year.
Like, yeah. Yeah. No code needed. Just go to shopshereadstruth.com.
That's a good deal.
Do some Christmas shopping.
Do some damage.
Have a heyday.
Yeah.
But also remember that the Lord is your shepherd and you lack nothing.
You have what you need.
Just reduced our sales by half. Just kidding. Just kidding.
But also, if you are going to spend money on something,
you should go here.
That's right.
God's word is a good place to invest.
And then come back next
week. And then come back next week.
For week one of Advent 2023. The Advent experience, the community reading plan, begins on the first Sunday of Advent, which is this Sunday, but the podcast episode will launch on Monday, as usual.
I was going to say Advent 4th, but I meant December 4th. Yes,
that's
Monday,
right.
December 4th is when the episode will launch. So come back next week for the first episode of Advent. I'm very excited. Maybe there will be jingle bells. Who even knows? But until next week, Amy Jo, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bible.